It is part four of our Chasing Squirrels with Pastor Mike podcast experience. Today, in our first round of the parable draft, Pastor Daniel is going to be bringing his pick, and we will be evaluating the quality of that pick. Let's find out how good that is.
So this pick is maybe more of a personal one to me, just like yours was, because it was a sermon of mine.
Okay, cool.
Back in the day. It was the first sermon I preached on the weekend here at Cloquet, and so it's the prodigal son, and I just love I love it. And when I think about this, I usually think about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son all together. But for this, it'll just be the lost son. Mm-hmm. And I love the whole story. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't have necessarily big reasons besides just that the personal feeling of liking this parable to pick it. But it's super good.
Yeah.
I think that's a parable that has been very meaningful to a lot of people.
Right.
Because when you feel that you've wandered from God, you're away from God, then how do you get back to God? And you know, too many people out there feel like, you know, they've messed it up too much. Mm-hmm. And the point of the prodigal son was to clearly explain how ridiculously horrible somebody can be, and God still throw a party when they come home. And you know, that was the whole point, was to demonstrate that, yeah, you think you've messed up, check this out. Took his inheritance early, diminished his father's wealth and business by 50%.
Right. That's a chunk.
And then just blew it on prostitutes and wild living, and then comes home and gets the fattened calf and the ring and the robe and a party, and everybody celebrates except for the older brother.
Well, and I think that's huge too. Like, there are two different reactions that you see there. You see the father's reaction that's like, yes, he's back.
Right.
And clearly that's the one we're supposed to be like. And then you see the brother's reaction is like, come on, like, I've done all these things. Why don't I get the fattened calf?
Yeah.
What about me? And then, like, I almost feel like God is, like, the father, and then he's like, you fool, like, everything I have is yours.
Yeah.
You didn't ask.
Yeah.
But also that, like, we're not supposed to be, like, jealous, like, oh, this person just gets to come back, and, like, we're supposed to, like, welcome people with open arms. But that observation, I think I had a teacher preach on it at our school, is super huge. Like, we, in the kingdom, like, sometimes we just need to, like, believe in the freedoms that we have, and like, not just like feel like we need to do all these things like the other brother was doing in order to prove his worth to the dad, when he's like, basically like, everything I have is yours anyways.
I think the older brother is so important, because it distinguishes a potential problem in the difference between the heart of God and then the heart of the church.
Yeah.
So one of the things that can happen when you're sacrificing for the kingdom of God is you can watch other people not sacrificing for the kingdom of God, absolutely messing everything up, absolutely not helping when they should be helping.
Right.
And then you can get a little bit of an attitude about that. You know, like, hey, I have to carry a double load because you won't answer the call, you piece of garbage. And then views expressed are not necessarily the perspective of Good Hope Church or Pastor Mike. I'm just giving an example of what a hardworking Christian might feel when they see someone else. Like, let's say that you went to Bible college with someone and you're working in ministry together, and then they fall away from following Christ and start acting really stupid and sabotaging their own lives and undoing the light shining that they were doing earlier.
Right.
And then you can think like, what? You know, you can get upset with that and angry with that. And then when they want to come back, you got a heart thing to deal with.
Right.
And the example of the prodigal son is bringing out the difference between the heart of God which is eagerly anticipating that person's return, even knowing the fullness of the error that the person has been involved in, mm-hmm. versus the perspective of maybe the faithful church person,
right.
who is resenting that individual. And that is a big, big danger when the heart of the church deviates from the heart of God. Mm-hmm. We've got a big problem. And that to me is the significance of the older brother. And, you know, as a new believer, I was like somebody who looked at the older brother and was like, yeah, those idiots. And now, having been a Christian for 30 years, I think, yeah, better be careful.
It's easy to slip into that.
Better be careful, right? Because it's like, if you would just answer the call, then we would have our churches full of pastors. But you won't, because you're lazy and selfish and stupid. And now we're closing churches because you guys won't answer the call. And you get something funny in your heart,
right.
that is not the heart of God. Mm. And so that's another value in the parables of Christ, but the parable of the prodigal son, is it allows us to be aware of and understand, oh, the older brother's perspective was not the right perspective.
Right.
I can see that in myself. I'm going to resist that. I'm going to ask for the power of God and the wisdom of God and the vision of God to be able to have the heart of God instead of the natural resentment that can come from the older brother's perspective. Mm. So that to me is a very important part of the parable as well.
Yeah. What I think is beautiful in this parable, and we talked about this last Wednesday, the youth group, is like, no matter what you do, your value doesn't change to God.
Right.
And like, he left, the son left, and he did all these bad things, but he came back, he was still a son. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It didn't change. The father still like welcomed him as a son, not a servant, because he said, I can be just a servant. Mm-hmm. He's like, no, you're my son still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the things I think about, too, that we've talked about, I know in previous conversations, but like when, like, the thing I would fall into as a kid was wishing I had this awesome testimony, you know, because the prodigal son yeah. is glorified kind of in this yeah. sense of, you know,
one.
You know, but like, obviously,
that made me find my testimony.
I have, you know, since changed that thought. I'm very content with not having a wild, sinful testimony in my past. Right. But, you know, like, kind of the, you know, like that faithful son that was there the whole time, you know, just could get jaded and was like, well, what? Like, I just had lived this boring, normal, good son life. And my brother got to go do all this stupid stuff, make bad decisions, you know. Well, he didn't have all the kind of fun he thought he was going to have.
Right.
You know, and like, but you can kind of glorify what they might have gone through. And yet they still come back and, you know, they're accepted and, you know, and then they could just pick up life again and try to become that good son again if they want, you know. And like, I don't know, you can tend to get into that mindset of thinking that, I don't know, it's better to have that awesome testimony.
That verse 31 of Luke 15, I think is super, super important. When the father says to the older son, after the older son is saying, hey, this is ridiculous, that we're bringing this fool back into our family. He says, my son, the father said, you are always with me and everything I have is yours.
Yeah.
So that to me speaks of the reward right. of someone who faithfully serves the Lord through their whole life.
That's what I was trying to get at. You just need to.
You're not the older son.
You have that reward.
Yeah, yeah. The older son wasn't missing out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and he thought he had to keep working in order to get those rewards, right? Like, he's like, you didn't right. even so much as kill. What do you say?
Yeah, a young goat for me and my friends.
But I'm sure if that older brother would have went to, it's like, hey, dad, like, can I have some friends over and we kill like a fattened calf? I'm sure, according to the way we're seeing here, that father would have been like, of course.
Right.
Like, right.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's kill two. You know, like.
And this is the heir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why it says, everything I have is yours. Mm-hmm. We're not going to split the inheritance again.
Right.
Right.
So he gets to be part of the family,
right.
but he's not getting, you know, 3/4. he's not getting 50% and then 50% again.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know, it's
you better keep going out and, you know, squandering your wealth and wild living then to keep coming back for 50.
Is that what we're supposed to do then, Pastor Mike?
When you go to the I want to have a good testimony fallacy.
Right.
I think one of the things that can be a dramatic misinterpretation of the parable of the prodigal son is I want to be the prodigal coming home
right.
for the rest of my life. You know, like each day I'm going to go over the horizon and come back, another ring, another robe, another fattened calf, you know, like, no. And that's where I obviously, again, this is a parable. It's a made up story to make a point.
Right.
But if you follow the logic of it, what would the next day after the party be like?
Go back to work.
Yeah. He'd have been waking up the roosters.
Yeah.
You know, the prodigal son would have been like, all right, let's be faithful now.
Right. Mm.
I've learned my lesson. I am no longer going to live in rebellion against the father that loves me and the home that is good. I am going to be part of this and make this better. And the idea that you can perpetually be a prodigal and somehow have that work out for you is, you know, why we need to read things like the parable of the talents, right. You know? Because you do have to be faithful in the house of God.
Yeah.
You can be forgiven and restored,
yeah.
Hallelujah, then be faithful.
Right.
But don't just live a life of perpetually being forgiven and restored. You're not restored then. You're just re-prodigalizing yourself over and over again.
Right.
And that's not where you want to be.
Well, and I think something that's huge too is what made him realize to go back. Was it something that the father did? Was it something that someone else did in his life? No, it was like this realization, like in Luke 15:17, says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? Like, so he had this realization, like in like the family of God, how many of the people in the family of God do not have to worry and struggle with these things?
He remembered.
Yeah.
And so I think that's something, I mean, it's a huge part of my life. Like I was like born and raised, or not, well, I guess not born and raised, but like trained up from a young age in the church, went away for a little bit, but it was nothing that no one did other than my mom praying that got me to come back.
Yeah.
It was just me realizing, like, why am I living this life? Like, what is the point of this? Like,
right.
This is just leading me down a dark path. Whereas before I was like prospering, I was enjoying life, I was content.
Yeah.
Like, and just living in the freedoms that I think everyday Christians should live in.
Right.
And I was like, well, why would I spend another day in this filth?
Right.
Where I can go back. And my mom modeled the father in this exactly. She's like, come home, like,
yeah,
come home. And I think that's like, so a lot of people would like, I mean, maybe this is for some parents out there, like people who are having their kids like kind of go down a crazy path, obviously like pray for them and use caution, but like when they want to come home, like open everything, like,
yeah,
like don't waste anything, like let them know how much they care, because that alone will let them know how much they were valued.
Yeah.
And that response that my mom had, I can never go back to the ways of the world. I can never actually like enjoy going back to the ways of the world.
Mm-hmm. It's such a powerful thing, because I think the message to the people who love the prodigal is be worth coming home to.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the father was worth coming home to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's interesting is, you know, obviously again, it's a parable, but what if the prodigal had met the older brother first?
Right. Yeah. So I was thinking,
you know,
he probably would have ran away from the church forever.
And that's where
from the family.
The church needs to model
right.
the heart of God both before the people leave.
Right.
So that they have a picture. I mean, if you leave a dysfunctional, hate-filled, garbage faith life, or, you know, like religious life, what are you going to return to that? You're going to come to your senses and go, wow, I wish I was back with all the hypocrites and fools and the hate and the, you know, no one's going back to that.
Right.
So we have to live the ways of God first. And then, of course, people will leave because, you know, the grass is greener and people are going to want to explore and wonder.
Find things out for themselves.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Someone told them this has been so bad. Like,
right.
Let's figure it out, which is obviously very dangerous. Don't do that.
It's very dangerous, and you are better off just trusting God and never looking back.
Right.
But the amazing thing about the gospel is that God does want us to not just be forced to believe and not explore any other options. Mm-hmm. And that's where forgiveness is there. And the story of the prodigal son is like, if you are the older brother, hallelujah, everything I have is yours. If you're the younger brother, then you can explore those things and you can come home when you realize that the ways of God are better. You're not just rejected and out. You're valuable. You're loved. You are brought back in and restored to sonship, not just made a slave in the house and made fun of and mocked, but you're restored to sonship. And if we can, if I could change one thing, it would be to have Christians live out the faith effectively so that people could see what it is. But when we're judgmental and we're hurtful and we have low emotional intelligence and we are selfish and territorial and foolish, then people can rebel against something that doesn't have the foggiest thing to do with God. Right. It's all sin that they're rebelling against, and they think they're rebelling against God, but they're rebelling against the sin of the followers of God. Mm-hmm. And how confusing is that?
Well, and they're probably not going to come back to that.
Why would they?
Why would someone want to go back?
They're going to come to their senses and go, yeah, I want to go back to hypocrisy and judgmental, harsh, ugly religion. They're not going to go back to that. No. It makes no sense.
Well, I heard an interesting thing too on a podcast I was watching actually. But basically they're saying a lot of younger people are leaving the church nowadays, which is very interesting because a lot of people think it's they're leaving the church because they're in rebellion doing all these crazy things.
Sure.
Whereas they said, I wonder if it's because a lot of the younger people are reading what the Bible says and through a non-religious mindset, realizing what's going on in some places, that they're like, yeah, I don't want to be a part of that. And then they're going and doing the things of God outside of the church. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I think that what you're saying, like you need to be, as a church, I think you need to be worthy enough to come home to.
Yeah.
Or to have like that foundation so that otherwise, like especially youth, they're going to see through it.
Oh my goodness.
Right through it, and they're going to be like, I don't want to be a part of this. My parents told me about how this religious mindset, I'm supposed to be a relationship, and this place is still dealing with religious mindset. Let's run away.
Yeah.
And then they don't have that foundation to lean on, where that church is supposed to build each other up.
And there's so many different dynamics that you're describing right there that are hugely important. You know, when I got saved, I was not an attender of church. I didn't know anyone who went to church. Some people that I had met, were like home fellowship church people, but they didn't attend like a regular church. They just sit in their living room with some friends and read the Bible and stuff on Sunday mornings, and that was their deal. And so I didn't know anybody who went to church. So it was a few years before I actually attended any church. And you can... sorry, pastors and denominations out there, you can walk with God outside of the church. It's not as effective as a healthy, life-giving church with people working together.
Because you don't have that safety net, the people to help you.
Right.
Oh, you have God as a safety net, but like...
Well, yeah, but, iron sharpens iron, and we build each other up, and we encourage one another. But what can also happen is we can just all be off track together, and going the wrong direction, or just bored together and trying to get it over with, like when, people were like, 20 minutes, don't preach longer than 20 minutes. Like, well, what's the reason for that? Yeah. Well, the reason is they're not expecting anything to happen, and you win by getting it over sooner because you're just checking a box.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Like, let's actually make this valuable and worthwhile and significant, and then we can make a difference. But as a pastor, knowing that you can love Jesus, pray in the morning, pray at night, walk Spirit-led through the day and just not, sleep through an hour of church on Sunday, you can be that person.
Right.
Now get all those people working together.
So much more effective.
we can get something done.
Right. Well, I think that's something we learned throughout this pandemic is like, yes, online church is amazing and it's beautiful,
mm-hmm.
but that community aspect is so needed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are people that had gone through problems throughout COVID that had to face them alone. And I hope to God that they fought through them and got through the other side. But like, man, like not having that community where you can just sit down over coffee or just like talk to someone in the...
And there's a variety of stories, you know, like I get to know a lot of different people's stories and some people didn't come through COVID. You know, I mean, like it's hard when you don't have people around you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have people around you.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Dangerous. Hey, thanks for being here for part 4 of our Chasing Squirrels podcast. Thank you to the squirrel chasers. You're so much fun. Really enjoying this. Make sure you tune in next time for part 5, where Pastor Kayla will make her first round pick.